The persecution of Christians around the world is our topic right now for this particular segment on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Wendy Wright, who's the president of Christian Freedom International. And Wendy points out in some of her newsletters that sometimes even the mainstream media will highlight an attack here, an attack there against Christians because they're Christians, but what happens day in and day out when there's no media attention? What happens to the Christians in Nigeria or Burma or Bangladesh? Wendy, thank you so much for joining us back on Vocal Point. I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate the opportunity to let people know what's happening with persecuted Christians.
Okay, so you mentioned, you know, specifically before we talked on the air, you mentioned Nigeria, Bangladesh, and Burma. In the case of Nigeria and Bangladesh, the persecutors there would be Muslims, presumably, and then with Burma, it would be a different group, correct?
Yes, that's right. So in Nigeria, which people may be reading about because it's just horrific, Nigeria's become just a killing field, a genocide against Christians by jihadists. Many of them are ISIS-inspired or linked jihadists. And nearly every week, if not even more often, there are massacres, villages being burned down, women and children being abducted, and yes, those are Islamists. The same in Bangladesh. The Christians there that we work with are converts. So many of them were Muslim, but then they become Christians, and then they are persecuted by sometimes their own families and then these radical imams. And then in Burma, it is the Buddhist nationalists who are part of the junta, the military leaders. And recently there was a coup in Burma, Myanmar, and the attacks on the Christian ethnic communities continue even now, months later.
Mm. All right, let's talk for a moment about Nigeria specifically. Isn't that where Boko Haram has been doing some of its terrible deeds?
That's right. Boko Haram, which aligned with ISIS when ISIS was in its horrible heyday in the Middle East. And then there are also the Fulani militant herdsmen. So Fulani herdsmen, they're a tribe, have historically gotten along fine with the Christians, who often our times are farmers. But in the last several years, Fulani herdsmen have been radicalized and are horribly attacking villages. And I was there in Nigeria recently, and I met with a village of Christians. Their village had been attacked by Boko Haram, and people were massacred, village burned down, women abducted. The survivors had, those who were able to escape were the ones that I met with, and among them was a woman, I call her Lily, who had been abducted by Boko Haram. She was held by them, abused by them. They planned on marrying her off to one of the Islamist fighters, even though she was already a Christian mother and wife. And she was able to escape after quite a while of being held by them. She contacted her husband to reunite with her village. And the chief of the village knew that he needed to talk with the husband, Hilly's husband, before she came back, because the chief knew something the husband didn't. And that was, Lily was not coming back alone. She was carrying a baby.
Mm.
And that's, when you think about it, that's what's oftentimes can end up happening after a woman's been raped.
Sure.
And so now the husband and the village had a challenge before them. Would they accept Lily, who had been raped by terrorists? And would they accept her child, the child of an enemy? I mean, that's something really for all of us to be thinking about and ponder. I mean, how would we deal with that if that happened to someone within our own family? And this is a form of persecution that really attacks women as women and attacks men as providers and protectors. So here, her husband is being doubly abused in the sense of not only what happened to him, but he is made to feel that he couldn't protect his wife and provide for his family. And then, of course, women are are subject to sexual abuse, which directly attacks them in their God-given identity as a woman. And so one of the challenges for communities of persecuted Christians is, how do they deal with these direct attacks and flip the script of the terrorists? The terrorists want to destroy families. They, just like Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, the jihadists want to steal, kill, and destroy Christians and Christian communities and families. And in fact, it's a way of overtaking Christian communities, not only by eliminating them, by destroying them, but also by co-opting them. The women, as they are abducted and then married off, they're considered converts to Islam, and then any subsequent children are considered Muslims. So now the Christians have a challenge. Are they going to accept the script of the terrorists, or will they do, in fact, what had been modeled to us through God and through Mary? So Mary was the father of her child was a mystery, unknown. And it appears that Jesus himself suffered a stigma of having an unknown father. We see even as an adult that he was mocked. There were snide remarks made about his parentage. And but they provide an example for us, and as Christians, of how do we handle this idea of the a child with an unknown father, or in the case of what's happening with Christians in Nigeria, the child of the so-called enemy. Well, thankfully, the chief of that village was very wise, and he counseled the father, the husband, to welcome his wife and the child back as an adopted child.
Wow.
When I met with them, the villagers had bought some land, and they were had cleared the land of trees. They were going to be sowing crops, and so that they could make some funds so that they could then build a village. And they had accepted Lily back, but they were still dealing with the trauma of the abuse and with issues like inheritance. There are hurdles, ongoing hurdles. And it's something for us as Christians in the West, as we pray for persecuted Christians, to pray for these kinds of challenges of welcoming back women, children, and men, boys who had been abducted, and there have been attempts to radicalize them or convert them to Islam, that they can be welcomed back in their community and they can find or renew their identity in Christ.
Well, you remember, Wendy, I'm sure, because you deal with this day in and day out. A few years ago, there was a story where a few hundred, as I recall, Christian women and girls were kidnapped by groups like Boko Haram, or specifically, I guess it was Boko Haram, Islamic groups and so forth. And this lady that you've been describing, she was one of those persons? Or I guess this is an ongoing thing with the kidnapping of girls, women and girls?
Yes. Yeah, so the one, I think, believe what you're thinking of are the Chibok girls, that about over 200 of them were abducted from a school.
Yeah.
And yes, many of them ended up being so-called married off. There was a tremendous international attention on the Chibok girls, which put pressure on the Nigerian government to try and rescue them. So there were a number of attempts. A number of them either had escaped. Really, their only chance of escaping was within the first about 24 hours. But then there were raids by the military, the Nigerian military, in order to rescue. And some of these girls, when they were returned back to their families, came back with a child. They'd been impregnated.
Very much like what you just described. Yeah.
That's right. So this is an ongoing, not something you're going to read about all the time, but there are hundreds who have been abducted. We don't know how many have returned. It's just not something that there's data that's kept on. And one of the ways that we at Christian Freedom International are helping is with that village, with Lily's village, we help to provide seeds for their crops as they are building a new village. And then since then, we've also connected with a very good group that is working with widows, Christian widows. Their husbands have been massacred by jihadists, and now they're the breadwinners. And many of them, if not all of them, have dependent children. So We helped with a training on them on biblical entrepreneurship and provided some seed money for them to start small businesses. And that's a way we're trying to take a holistic view of Christian persecution, that looking at the long term, what can we be doing to help these persecuted Christians to not just carry the identity of being persecuted, but live above that, beyond that, to rise above the persecution and to be self-sufficient as much as possible, and to restore their bonds as families and communities, as villages.
Excellent. And how about a minute or two on the issue of Christian persecution or anti-Christian persecution in Bangladesh, another Muslim country?
In Bangladesh. So in Bangladesh, we work with the converts. Many of them end up being kidnapped by imams, or put a tremendous pressure put on them by these radicalized imams to get them to convert back to Islam. One of the gentlemen we worked with, there was so much stress and pressure put on him, he'd actually was kidnapped and held in a mosque and beaten to try and get him to convert back, that he ended up having several strokes and suffered a number of physical complications. And so we helped to provide medical care for him to overcome the medical complications of the stress from the persecution. I encourage people to go to our website. You can read more about it and about Badshah at christianfreedom.org and find some other ways that we're trying to help long-term for those who have been persecuted for their faith.
And what about anti-Christian persecution in Myanmar?
Yeah, in Myanmar, we've been working for years with Christian refugees. They've fled Myanmar, also known as Burma, and we have a school on the border of Burma in Thailand that's training refugees in Bible and vocation, a way to make a living so that they can be self-sufficient missionaries or leaders to their communities. And everything from making T-shirts, sewing, to gardening so they know how to farm for themselves, to welding, so that they have a skill that they can build on. They can go back into the communities. In fact, a number of our graduates, even as the violence of the coup continues, they've gone back into villages in Burma, and they're helping the Christians in those villages with really practical help, and then also doing things like teaching Sunday school, so helping build the faith of the community, the Christians, as they're under fire, literally under fire, as bullets are flying and airstrikes against their villages, helping to build their faith and build their communities in the midst of that.
Does the U.S. Play any role in helping to, you know, alleviate some of the anti-Christian persecution that you're seeing on a regular basis in these different countries?
Yes. So the U.S. can play a tremendous role. One is government to government and in the international realm, putting pressure on the governments of these countries to first shame them, because that seems to be the only way that there seems to be action taken within these countries, to try and alleviate, to address these problems. So, for example, in Bangladesh, when Badshah, he was accused of blasphemy and was imprisoned. So we hired an attorney that went to the police station and defended Badshah to the police. And at the same time, we contacted the U.S. State Department. And the point behind that is the U.S. State Department, especially our embassy in-country, can contact their local counterparts, the Bangladesh government, and say, hey, we heard about this incident of a Christian being falsely accused of blasphemy, being held in a jail in this remote area. That puts pressure on the government to solve the problem, to take care of that. So, yes, there are things that the U.S. government can do on the grand scale, whether it be at the U.N., or government to government, and even in these personal, like, one-on-one ways of just quiet conversations between diplomats that can allow for some quiet diplomacy to take place.
All right. We have, thank you so much. We're basically out of time. Wendy Wright, and it's christianfreedom.org. Is that right, for more information?
That's right, christianfreedom.org.
And you work in how many countries, Wendy?
We're currently working in about 12 countries.
Wow, that's fantastic. Hey, thank you so much. God bless and all the best.
Thank you, Jerry.